Your Bibles, if you will, please, to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. I'm going to read one verse. Keep your Bible handy. We'll be all over the place this morning, but this is our kickoff verse here. Proverbs 29, verse number 18. Appreciate each one being here this morning. I do very, very much. And again, if you haven't gotten your Bible reading schedule yet, I hope there should be a few more out there. Grab one of those. And once again, they said they found some date books. Is that right? We found some more date books. I don't know what happened. Someone must be cleaning up and put that box over there where they thought they were all gone. So if you still need a date book for 2020, I know we've already gotten started, but if you'd like to have one for 2020, we probably would have got about, you know, a couple dozen of them or so. And feel free to go out there and help yourself if you need one. They're very nice. And has our theme on it, Get the Vision 2020. Haha. Get it? 2020? Get the Vision? Got it? Okay. We're so clever. No one else would have thought of that, you know. Proverbs 29, verse number 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What a potent thought that is. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Colon. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now that is written in such a way that there's a if-or type of thought there. There's a balance and counterbalance. There's a first part of the verse, a second part of the verse. The second part of the verse answers the first part of the verse. There's two parts to the first part of the verse, and there's two parts to the second part of the verse. One counteracts the other. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Vision is equated with law. And perish is the opposite of happy. The word vision itself, let me give this, and we'll pray here in a moment. The word vision means perception, but also has the idea of prophecy, revelation. The word is oracle. In the Bible, there were sometimes people who were prophets were called seers. Vision. They see things. Seers. Where the word of God is not being made prominent, it says the people are going to perish. Now it's interesting, this word perish is only used one time in the Bible, and it's right here. Now perish is used very often. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. Of course, that's a Greek word. This is a Hebrew word, but this Hebrew word is really only translated perish this one time in the Bible. But it's interesting. It means to loosen, to be made bare, exposed, naked to the point of destitution, living in the refuse of the world. It means to waste away, to pine in destruction, to be headed for loss, be headed for degradation, decay. Gives you the idea of, you ever hear something called a perishable fruit? The perishable foods. They're perishable in that they are given to decay. Adam Clark, the commentator, says it this way. where divine revelation and faithful preaching of the sacred testimonies are neither reverenced nor attended, the ruin of that land is not at a great distance. Jesus said, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Five times in Matthew, Jesus says, have ye not read? There was a problem. And he said, have ye not read? And that was because the Jewish leadership was obviously going down the wrong road. We're going to pray here this morning, and we're going to have a series of messages here on our theme for this year. I've said, get the vision. We'll get to that part soon. Underneath the verse where I got that was, where there is no vision, the people perish. And today I'm going to concentrate on one thought. The people are perishing. The people are perishing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths. Thank you for the law. Mighty is the law, the word of God, the truth. And Lord, so many perish for want of the law. They're dying because they have no truth. Their lives are being put into turmoil. Ruin is ahead, and they're bounding at full force. And mostly because many just don't know any better. Some months ago, we talked about the fact that straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, because broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and there's many that go in thereat. People are perishing. Lord, help us to get the vision. We see this world as you see it. Because people are perishing. May your Holy Spirit move here in the next few moments. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. In Psalm 1, in fact, you can turn there. Your proverb, just turn back a few pages to Psalm chapter 1. You know, the first three verses of Psalm 1 is my life verse. I'm always long-winded. Even my life verse is three verses long. But I decided on this as my life verse years and years and years ago, because I thought it just makes all the sense in the world. They used to say, well, do you have a life verse? You have a life verse. And people have had different things that have been life-changing verses and things that got them straightened out and focused and maybe changed the way they viewed some things or whatever. I said, well, no, I really don't have a life verse. And one day, actually, I just looked right. It wasn't just because it was the first psalm in the book. It was, I read this thing, and it's the first three verses. I said, well, this is how we should live life. Now, let me read a few verses here with you. Psalm 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is the rules for life. This is how life works. God designed life, and he knows how it works. We ought to obey the book. He knows how it works. Now, I know most of us guys don't like to read the directions. The directions are for sissies. But when we get done and the thing still doesn't work, then we go back and read the directions. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier if we read the directions the first time, because we won't skin our knuckles, break the part, have to buy the part twice. I grew up where, you know, some people say, I didn't grow up in sports and hunting and fishing, that kind of stuff. I grew up around cars. My dad was a mechanic and a car collector, he just knew how to do it. And real men take care of their own cars. In fact, we were trying to get rid of some of my dad's things. We have a few left. And one of the things we have left is the first engine that I ever restored and the last engine that I ever restored. Now, actually, they're two different engines, just so you know. No, actually, the first engine I restored, I was 8 years old. That's just what you did. You know, you followed dad around. And I knew how to do all. I could do all that. It made sense. Of course, back then, a lot of the engines, you got a flywheel, you got a piston, and you got a crankcase, and you know, the spark plug and the fuel and the car. I mean, it was pretty simple. See how everything was going to work. And that was fine. I did that for a long time. When we were, when my first son came along, Sterling the Third, he's back here helping with the children's church this morning. Sometimes you see him on Sunday night back here in the booth. He was here in the booth with Sunday school, helping to run sound or working with the computer back there. And when he came along, we bought our first minivan. It was a 1986 Ford Aerostar, which was the first year for it. Don't buy a first year model of a car. It was in the shop 10 times in the first 12 months. And remember one day we were driving up the road and Stroh was in the back seat here in his car seat, and all of a sudden I heard this zing, and the pulley on the front of the engine had just twisted right off the front of the engine. And it was that one pulley ran the power steering, the power brakes, the water pump, and everything you could think of was all for that same. I guess that's why it twisted off the front. Anyway, up until then, I always did all my own servicing on my cars, which is what you do. It's what real men do. Well, this thing, if you remember those things, they had everything all shoved up inside there, that minivan, and you had to get to some of it from the behind, and then that was awful. And you couldn't get to anything, and I had a driveway with stones in it, and so I had to lay on my back and fix that thing from underneath. I made a decision. It's easier for somebody else to do it. Because I'd fix it. Sure enough, I cut my knuckles all up, and I'd break the part. And by the time I figured out how to do it, it all made sense, you know. But then it wasn't going to break again. It wasn't going to have to do it again. So I found I could teach music lessons, and I was teaching music lessons, and I could teach a couple of music lessons and pay somebody who knew what they were doing to fix the car. And I found that you got to know what you're doing if you're going to make it work. If you're going to make life work, you need to obey the rules of God. Now watch me. He says there, that's what we need to do. Verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He figures out what the law is saying, and then he wants to understand it so he can do it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. The Word of God has what we need. Now, what's the opposite of prosperous and success? Defeat and failure. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he said he's called us unto glory and virtue. He didn't call us to have a mess of a life. Well, that's just what I grew up in. Yes, but you get to start over again. His mercies are new every morning. If you're sitting in the muck and the mire, it's because you choose to. Now, I know a lot of stuff that comes in on life and comes and hits you unexpectedly, but an awful lot of it we bring on ourselves because we simply do not what he asks us to do. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. What's going to happen? Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He says, if I will do the rules according to God's word, I'm going to prosper. I'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that even when the famine comes, even when the drought comes, it's going to do just fine. We have a house down here. We built this house in 2008. Can't believe it's already going to be 12 years since we've been there. Down the bottom part of our property is really the sediment pond, the runoff pond for the rest of that little development. And when we first moved there, there was, I guess it's just where it was and all these things, there was several spring heads that made their way down to that pond, and it was wet all the time. And so I made a little cut, I kind of got out there with a shovel and cut a little creek, if you will, down through that pond and all the way to the runoff drain that goes on out, so that the water came in, didn't lay there. We were breeding mosquitoes and everything else. And so the water was coming in, I kind of piped it in, so it goes right on out the pond, and then I could mow it and everything else. And then we've had several years that were dry. I mean, dry, dry. Now, when we first put there, I went there, it was basically an open lot. We planted a lot of trees, and one of the things I did down there in the bottom was I put some weeping willow trees. Now, weeping willow trees love that that water and they soak it up, you know, just soak it up. Now, you don't want it next to any of your pipes because those roots would go in there and clog those pipes right up. But it was down there in the bottom where it wasn't going to hurt anything. And so I put this weeping willow tree right down in there. Now, one of them, I had several pretty right down in the middle of them. One of them I kind of had up on the bank a little bit further, but I thought it'd be nice. We had several years of drought till the tree died. I mean, it died. I mean, it got black. The bark fell off. And so I thought, well, I guess, I mean, it should be all right. And it started to rain. He goes, well, I'll try another. Once you get them planted and get them settled, they're usually okay. But so I dug the thing out, and I went and bought another one and put it in there and kept it watered. I did what I could to keep it watered and a little bit, but if you forget. And I cut this willow, the old one that died, I cut it off, and I took the root, and I sat it right in that little creek that I dug. That little, it was only this wide, because all the water would go on down. Now, I just stuck it right in there. And all of a sudden, that thing came back to life. And then it started, you know how willow trees are. Man, it starts shooting shoots all over the place. And before long, it's doing better than the one that was planted that I was trying to keep watered. But because it was at the living water constantly. And this tree that was, I mean, dead. I tell you, they had turned black. The branches had broken off. There was nothing but a little root down in there, a little root of life. And all of a sudden, it put out a shoot, and it started going. And it was I had to dig the thing back up and replant it. I cut it off, dug it up, and planted it in another spot there. Because it came back to life because it had the water of life. He says that's what we are like when our life is planted in the Word of God. Now, if it's not planted by the water of God, your life very well may just dry up. Look at verse 4. This is not part of my life verse because I don't want this part. This is the opposite side. He says, the ungodly are not so. Now, he just talked about, you know, we'll be able to prosper, or we'll be like a tree planted with rivers of water. Our fruit won't, we'll have fruit in due season. Our leaf also won't wither. We'll be looking good. We don't walk around like we got this heavy burden. We can hardly make it day to day. He said, but those who are the ungodly, what does that mean? They don't meditate in the Word of God night and day. It means they probably are listening to the counsel of the ungodly. It didn't say wicked there. It just said the ungodly. All you got to do is take God out of your life. Undo the God thing. Just undo the God thing. And this is the natural response. It says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Dry. We have a bunch of maple trees in our yard. Now, most of them, there's a couple of wild ones that make great big leaves, you know, make a lot of mess. And we got some hybrids that where you know how maple trees are, just full of leaves. But in the fall, the leaves just kind of shrivel up to almost nothing, which is good. But I really probably wouldn't have planted maple trees, except we have a crosswind. And in the fall, when the crosswind comes, the leaves go. I don't rake leaves. I don't have to. My neighbor rakes leaves. I don't have to rake leaves. Shoo! There they go. He says, listen, they're dry. They're dead. They're tossed with the wind. They just disappear. There's no substance. It's dry, lifeless. Life is over. He says, the ungodly, undo the God thing in your life. Undo God in your life. He says, you know what you're going to be like? The chaff. When you eat whole wheat bread, it's the stuff that gets stuck in your teeth that they didn't get out. All the extra stuff, you know, it's the husks and all that stuff that maybe sometimes gets left in there. it just flies away. It's of no value. And sometimes our life seems like it's been nothing. It's gone. It's withered away. It's not like the tree planted by rivers whose leaf doesn't wither. It's like the tree that's away from the water. And when the hard times come, it does wither. The ungodly are not so, verse 4, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sitters in the congregation of the righteous. He says, you're not going to have life like the other people can have. And when things get tough, you're not going to be able to handle it. And when you can't handle it, it's amazing the things that we'll do. When things get tough, it's amazing the foolish things that we'll do in what we think is survival. The way we waste our lives. We'll decide we need a new spouse. Now, maybe there is a problem there. I mean, it could be a problem there, but a lot of times we just think, well, if I could just start over again. I've told you often, my dad was a real estate salesman. And when we got ready to come up here, he sold our house for us in Maryland. And we had it all sold, and it sold pretty early. This is going to be great, no problem at all. It was about a month till settlement, and the people backed out. And he said, they decided to get a divorce instead of buy a house. I said, what? Why would you even think about buying a house if they were that close to getting a divorce? He says, Sterling, it happens all the time. Somehow they think, this is my father. I mean, he wasn't a preacher or anything, but he said, you just see. So somehow they think that if they get a new house, they get a new start. But the problem is, the problem is not the house. The problem is the people in the house. So when you move to the new house, you take all the roaches and all the mice and everything, all the problems of your house goes with it, so to speak. Because the problem was the people in it. And we do that in life. Verse 6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, here it is, shall perish. I understand. I don't want to hurt anybody here. Fact is, though, probably everybody have had some things in our life that has perished. Since we're all sinners. I may even mention something in a negative connotation that you're accustomed to these next few weeks here. We must remember, truth is not determined by the majority of public opinion. Truth is dictated by God. You may feel I'm being overly dramatic or even speaking as an alarmist, but there is a trend in our society, and it's a direction that's not good. We can sit by and watch what people are doing, watch people perish one after another, or we can do all we can do with God's power to save as many as we can. My first point here, and again, we're not getting real far here today. I'm sure we're not going to finish this whole message. Is basically the title, People Are Perishing. If we look around at the world we live in, we see people perishing. Now, I know that, we think about that, we think of somebody actually dying. You read the obituaries in the York Daily Record, it's usually two or three pages every day of people who've passed away. I don't understand that. And there is a connection there. But that's not exactly what I'm talking about. Perishing, to loosen, to be made bare, exposed, naked, destitute, living in the refuse of life, to waste away, to pine away and to be destroyed, to be headed for loss, degradation, decay. It's like without any constraint to hold back decay, the first perishable fruit will just perish away. Let a banana sit. You ever notice that? You get those things. They're as green. You can throw them out of the backyard and you think they take root. And by the end of the week, those bananas, you know, they're melting away. You got this slimy mess, you know, and that's the way my dad liked them. He always liked them half dead. He always said, you can almost see through them. You know what I mean? Ever seen how they, you know, they get? He liked them when they were good and dead. That's the way he liked them. But listen, they perish. We are very perishable. Life is very fragile. Not only is our physical life very fragile, but having a good life is sometimes simply a phone call away. One bad decision away. One selfish motive away. We're away from perishing. Get these old bad apples. You live in these little dark, perpetually perishing places. Perishing is not, it really isn't though a sudden thing. Decay eats away at the good flesh, if you will. Leprosy in the Bible is seen as sin. And one with leprosy gradually just kind of rots and decays away. This is what sin does to us. We perish away. There's an incremental loss. We have a perishing society. If I wanted to be depressed, I could have gone home and watched the Super Bowl. No. I understand. And this particular message doesn't spend a whole lot of time on the upside. We're going to get to the upside. But unless we realize the downside, we're not going to do the upside. And we're going to continue to perish. We have a perishing society, a decaying society. This is what has happened to our country over the last 100 years. Little by little. This is what has happened to our nation over the years and to our area in the last 50 years. Look at the decaying mess that people live in physically. It's amazing how people will live. The decaying mess socially. Everything is unraveling. And the unraveling causes more problems and more problems, which then we say, well, I can't handle it. We unravel more. The decaying mentally and emotionally. I am surprised, and don't get mad at me, but I am surprised how many people go to therapists. I'm not trying to be mean here. What do you go to therapists for? To tell your problem, and the person said, well, you're not alone. Here's some medication. I'm not trying to be mean. But let me ask you a question. If everything in your life was going well, would you think you need to go to therapy? Well, of course not. Well, then that's not the problem. The problem is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, understand the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his delight, and in his law does he delight every delight and meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bring forth fruit. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosper is good. That doesn't mean everything's going to be happy. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. But I'm saying you can get through the problems because you got someone to go through it with you. But the ungodly, undo the God thing in your life and you're all on your own. And we wonder why we feel lost and lonely, helpless and hopeless. We throw God out of our life, we throw hope out of our life. Oh, we can run a while on the momentum. But after a while, it stops. First Timothy 6:6. If you've got your Bible, you can look at it. First Timothy 6:6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We live in a perishing society. At the same time, our society is the wealthiest it's ever been in the history of the world. Why? Because our hope is in what we have. Amen. Our money. Amen. And by the way, it's never enough. Mm-hmm. All we really need is enough to pay what we need to pay. What we need is a God who's going to provide our daily bread. In fact, the more you have, the more you got to worry about. Wouldn't you just like to be able to just reach in your pocket and have what you need? Just have what you need. That's all you need. By the way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You'll have what you need. God, my God, supply your need according to his riches and glory. I'm not talking about all your wants, but all your needs. You heard about the guy who got two wishes from a genie? He went into the restaurant. And he sat down at the restaurant, and he had this ostrich beside him. And he sat down at the stool, and the ostrich sat down on the stool next to him. And the waitress came by. He says, "What do you want for lunch?" And he said, "I'll have a ham sandwich and a cup of soup." And a Coke. Well, what's your friend near the ostrich want? And the ostrich says, "I'll have a ham sandwich, a cup of soup, and a Coke." And he reached his hand. When it was all done, he reached his hand. He pulled out some money in his pocket, put it down there, and sure enough, it was exactly the right money for the price. We came in at dinner time. Came in at dinner time and said, "What do you have?" I said, "Well, I'll have a steak and a baked potato, and a cup of coffee." Well, what does your friend want there? The officer says, I want a steak and a baked potato and a cup of coffee. They ate their dinner. We got all done. Came in here. Pulled out money. Right, sure enough, it was just the right money. Just amount. And this happened for several days. And finally, the waitress says, I got to ask you a question. How is it that you can just reach in your pocket and get out just the right amount of money, put it on the counter? And he said, "Well, I was out on the coast. I found this bottle, and I rubbed the bottle. This genie came out and said he gave me two wishes. And I wished that I would always be able to reach in my pocket, and whenever I had to pay for anything, there would always be just the right amount of money in my pocket. He said, I don't have to carry around and worry about anything. He said, "That's pretty smart. You always got the right amount of money." And so I said, "Well, I don't understand the ostrich." He said, "Well, my second wish was a chick with long legs that always agreed with me." I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm sorry. People are perishing. And we're so worried about money, so worried about things. We have everything we want, and we see them dying. Suicides. Murder suicides. Hurt people. They're hurt. But why are they in the hurt? Because they haven't let God be their God. Number two, there we go. People are perishing because people do not know the Word of God. Amen. People are perishing because they do not know the Word of God. I already did Psalm 1 with you. Let me read. Proverbs 2, and Nathan kind of touched on this already this morning in Sunday school class. He, I don't know why. This has been on my docket for months to get to this thing, my order. I'm just getting there, and he'll preach on it. But listen. By the way, if you don't know what to read in the Bible, read a chapter of Psalms every day. In fact, today is Groundhog Day. Joanna's, my granddaughter's, little granddaughter's birthday, and Billy's birthday, Billy Reynolds' birthday. He's the big 3-0. He's wearing black. No, he's not. Feels like it, but he's not. Chapter 2. So I would read chapter 2 on the second day of the month. Chapter 3 on the third day of the month. Well, what if you miss one? You'll come back next month. I'm serious. I messed up. I can't stop. I got to stop. Don't stop. Come. You'll be back next month. A little bit today is better than nothing. It's all good. It's not only true on the day of the date, you know. Do it. Chapter 2. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge," you want to know it, "and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures." In other words, where's your treasure? Those whose love is money, they will put themselves in all kind of hurtful things trying to get it. And we think this is what's going to make life good. And chances are it's going to make life horrible. Let God provide it in His timing. But if you'll seek His wisdom, if you'll decide that you're going to meditate day and night on His Word, so because you realize that that's where you're going to have a successful life and things are going to prosper, He says, if you will receive it, if you'll incline your ear, if you'll cry after, if you'll seek it as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. Then you're going to understand what you're supposed to be doing. Well, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. You're not in the Word of God. Well, you know, you want me to read that thing every day? You want to suffer every day? You want to deal with this every day? You want to make a decision that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life unless God in His mercy gives you a break from it? Do you really want to do that? Are we really that stupid? Verse 10, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul." When you just kick, you get your biggest kick is finding out what the next thing God wants you to do. Listen, there are people in this room who like to come in and they joke about it, but they love it when their toes are stepped on. There are. "Give it to me good, preacher. Do it again. I got that one." There are people in here who are man enough to take it because they know it's going to work. And by the way, it's not Sterling Walsh's words. It's the Word of God. Right here we are. He says, if you'll do that, and it's pleasant to your soul, verse 11, "discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." You know what that means? You won't be perishing. That's what it means. You know that life is hard and then you die? You ever hear that phrase? Life is hard and then you die. And I know that life is short, it's a vapor, and, you know, it's full of trouble. That's what Job said. And there is a lot of stuff going on in life that we don't like. But we don't have to live there. And by the way, there's an awful lot of paths we go down we don't need to go down. God gives us signs, but we don't know how to read the signs because we haven't read His Word. We don't know what the sign means. He says, stop right there. What happens? The Bible says the fool just goes right on and is destroyed. Oh, I got this. Well, if it's not what the Bible says, then you don't got this. You're going to get something, but it's not what you want. He says, discretion, verse 11, shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Watch. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. You know what that means? I'm not going to have as much trouble with bad guys as I would have. Somehow he's going to deliver me. Somehow I won't be at the wrong place at the wrong time. You realize that I can't get stabbed at the bar if I don't go to the bar? You realize that? I can't die behind the wheel as a drunk if I don't drink. I probably won't make my wife mad if I don't cheat on her. I might actually have some kids who love me back if I raise them, let them know I love them. That'll make a sissy out of them. I'll show you a sissy. Right hand of fellowship here. Now it's nice to be know that you're loved. You wanted it. You knew you needed it yourself. You see what I'm saying? Deliver thee from the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Listen, when they're giving you a spiel, you can see right straight through it. When you see, know God's word. Verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward to their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman. What does that mean? As anything, really in Proverbs, not, it definitely means the woman you're not supposed to be messing around with, but anything else that's lustful, some lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, whatever it may be, that you're not supposed to have. Something out here the world says, you want one of these. And you say, no, I don't. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and the paths unto the dead. None that go in unto her return again. Neither take they hold of paths of life. That thou mayest walk, verse 20, in the way of good men. And keep the paths of the righteous. Watch. For the upright shall dwell in the land. And the perfect are the ones who mature, have some smarts about them, shall remain in it, remain in the land. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You know what that means? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's an absence of the Word of God, lives are messed up. But where the law is, happy is he. We're going to stop here. We're not done. There's one thing I want you to think about this morning. And it could be that you're thinking about some remembrance of your own. Did you ever make a foolish decision and it caused sustainable problems? I mean, things that kind of just one thing after another. We probably didn't have to do that. But I have found this. Don't complain to God for your circumstances. But you can ask for His mercy. Don't blame him. You married the guy. You married the woman. You said yes. Well, they tricked me. They said they liked me. I understand. But there's someone who loves you. I'm not trying to be cold-hearted here. I'm trying to deal with reality. Now, first of all, don't go do it again. Well, that's just my lot in life. No, you've chosen it. You made a decision. We make decisions every day. Our first decision is to know the Word of God. First decision is receive Christ as our Savior, become a child of God. Our second decision is to know the Word of God. Third decision is to obey the Word of God. with a joyful spirit. You'd be surprised. When you say, well, I'll just put on the whole armor of God. You know it's the same thing. You know what the breastplate of righteousness is? It means I'll save myself from getting shot and killed if I just do right. The breastplate of righteousness is I can spare myself a lot of pain and anger and even death itself just by doing right. Keeps me out of trouble. That's where we are. Now, the second step of this is this. There's a lot of people perishing. There's a lot of people who have a whole lot worse than we do. Society has a whole lot worse than most. I mean, much of the society has it worse than maybe we do. They need to know. Where they don't have the word of God, they're going to perish. And they are perishing. And we sit on our hands and try to look like we're little statues in a museum. And what they need to know is the word of God. I'm hoping in the next few weeks we're going to get a vision. We need to get a vision. We need to understand what the word is, vision. And then we need to see it as God sees it. Now, don't sit there and say, well, I sure hope somebody gets it. Well, you're somebody. You're not all supposed to be the preacher. I want to be the preacher. I'm the preacher. But we all can be proclaimers. And we all can do and serve where God has called us within the context of the body of Christ. And as I've been talking the last few weeks, we all have a realm of influence. You make use of your realm. I'll make use of my realm. And sometimes we may even overcross. What does that do? Increase the intensity. Wow, that's the third person today that told me that it sounds like they go to church and believe in Jesus. You know what happens when that happens, when people do this? I wonder if he's talking to me. They do. They really do. Get in on it. Because people are perishing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths. We thank you for the way it changes our lives.